President Trump says Iran made a big mistake after shooting down a U.S. military drone.
This drone was in international waters. Clearly, we have it all documented. It's documented scientifically, not just words. And they made a very bad mistake.
Plus, the S&P 500 closes at a new record and Slack makes its trading debut. We'll also have more on a journal investigation into fake business listings on Google Maps. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Before we get to our main story on Iran, here are some other top stories we're following today. The S&P hit a new record on Thursday. The index closed up 28 points, or nearly 1%, at 2,954. The move comes a day after the Federal Reserve decided to hold interest rates steady, but hinted that a rate cut could be on the horizon if the economic outlook doesn't improve. The Dow gained 249 points. The Nasdaq was up 0.8%. And the benchmark 10-year Treasury yield, a barometer that helps set borrowing costs, has fallen below 2%. That's something economists hadn't expected just months ago. The Wall Street Journal's Daniel Kruger explains why that's significant for the U.S. economy.
One, it's a sign that investors are preferring safe assets. They don't want to take a lot of risk, and they want to make sure that they get their money back. But also, because the Treasury yield sets borrowing levels throughout the economy for like mortgages and company loans, those rates are going to come down as well, and that may actually give the economy a bit of a boost.
And in the UK on Thursday, 10-year yields fell to their lowest levels since late 2016. Messaging company Slack ended a solid first day of trading, with shares closing at $38.62 on Thursday. That gives the company, which debuted via direct listing, a diluted valuation of about $23.2 billion. Slack's closing price is slightly higher than its first trade and 49% higher than its reference price on the New York Stock Exchange. Tensions in the Middle East pushed oil prices higher on Thursday. Crude futures rose 5.4% to $56.65 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Meanwhile, Brent crude, the global benchmark, was up 4.3%. Oil prices also saw a boost last week after attacks on two oil tankers in the Gulf of Oman. Continued tensions in the region have led to more volatility in oil prices. Boris Johnson is a step closer to becoming the next British prime minister. Conservative lawmakers have voted him through to the final round on Thursday, but critics are questioning his ability to lead. Some point to statements he's made in the past, like these in 2012.
My realistic chances of becoming prime minister are only slightly better than my chances of being decapitated by a frisbee.
Versus these from this year.
I believe I'm the right person to take this country forward.
A video documenting some of Johnson's more controversial public comments as he advances toward leadership of the United Kingdom is posted on our website, wsj.com. Seven Senate Republicans joined Democrats to pass resolutions blocking arms sales to Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. The resolutions would still need to pass the House, but the White House has indicated it would veto the measures. Last month, the Trump administration invoked rarely used emergency powers to bypass a congressional review, authorizing billions of dollars in weapon sales to U.S. allies in the Middle East. And our top story, which has been developing throughout the day, is heightened tensions between the U.S. and Iran after Iran shot down a U.S. military drone. The Wall Street Journal's Rory Jones reports from Dubai.
Iran has said that the drone was in Iranian airspace when it was hit and that it crashed into Iranian waters. The U.S. has said that's not the case. It said that the drone was traveling in international airspace when it was taken out by an Iranian missile. The US has called this a provocation. And so the key question is, what happens next? This time last week, the US accused Iran of attacking two oil tankers in the Gulf, increasing oil prices at the time and heightening tensions then. At that point, the US's Gulf allies started to question whether the White House should sanction some kind of military response against Iran, whether that's surgical strikes or some kind of stronger response. So the calls for a military reaction to this event are likely now to only grow louder.
Tensions between the two countries have been ratcheting up for several weeks.
The current tensions in the region stem from President Donald Trump's decision to scrap the nuclear deal that Iran signed with world powers and reimpose sanctions on Tehran. That's meant that Iran has struggled to sell its oil, which in turn has significantly crippled its economy. Iran has said if it can't sell its oil, then no one can. And so that's given people indication that Iran is behind much of the distress in the region currently, because it's trying to demonstrate to the world that it can disrupt global oil markets and also threaten the US and its allies, particularly Saudi Arabia and the UAE, at a time when the White House is pursuing maximum pressure on Iran. And the US is pursuing maximum pressure on Iran because it wants to bring it back to the negotiating table with regard to nuclear armament, get a better deal, and also try to rein in what the White House considers Iran's malignant activity in the region via its proxies in places like Yemen, Syria, and Iraq.
On Thursday, President Trump said, quote, Iran made a big mistake. When asked about the U.S. response, he added, we'll see what happens. He also said the downing of the drone may have been unintentional. Again, the Journal's Rory Jones on what could come next.
What's pretty clear is that no one really wants some kind of prolonged conflict. Iran doesn't want it. The U.S., after wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, is also reticent to get involved in another prolonged conflict. And Saudi Arabia and the UAE over the Gulf from Iran also certainly don't want a war with their neighbor, because that would devastate their economies. So all sides are currently in a game of brinkmanship, trying to pressure the other to make concessions. What's not clear is how this situation de-escalates, and it appears that the threat of some kind of miscalculation that leads to conflict is increasing week by week.
And we're continuing to keep a close eye on this story and new developments this afternoon. For the very latest updates, please check back on our website, WSJ.com, or the WSJ app. Now, a Wall Street Journal investigation into fake business listings on Google Maps. The Wall Street Journal's Charlie Turner spoke with reporter Katie Binley.
Google is universally acknowledged as the king of search, handling more than 90% of the world's online search queries. But Google Maps, which is triggered by Google searches, is reportedly overrun with millions of fake business addresses and fake names. As a result, countless users looking for a local business run the risk of being victimized by illegitimate operators. Katie Binley of the Wall Street Journal has the story and joins us from San Francisco. Katie, businesses, real or fake, pop up on Google Maps through push pins. Isn't that right? You know, so isn't it often quite difficult for users to distinguish which businesses are legitimate and which aren't?
Yeah, at first glance, it's going to be pretty tough to tell if you're calling a business that, you know, is located where they're claiming to be or is named what they're claiming to be or even is a business at all, as opposed to, say, a lead generation firm that's being paid to forward the call to somebody else. There are some things that you can look for once you're sort of primed to look out for these things. But for the average person, I mean, no, you're just searching for a plumber or an electrician or an attorney. And what happens is you'll get results beneath the map. And for most people, the assumption is that these are Google's recommendations for who you might want to call, because they're showing up high up in the results.
What's the problem here? Is it faulty algorithms or bad software or both?
I mean, if you ask Google, you know, which we did, they said basically that they're dealing with a motivated group of scammers who are on the lookout to beat the defenses that they build. So I think, you know, from their perspective, at least as they're relaying it to us, that these scammers are coming up with ways around their defense mechanisms against the spam.
So besides defrauding consumers, this hurts legitimate businesses who pay for ads on Google, right? I mean, they struggle to be discovered amongst all these, shall we say, shady operators?
What'll often end up happening is you'll have like a personal injury attorney, and he may for, you know, months or even a year, it could be showing up as like the second search result under the map. And that's very prime real estate. So he'll be getting a ton of calls from people as a result of showing up really high up. And then if you get an area that's inundated with the fake listings, what can and has ended up happening is, you know, someone might get bumped down to like the 13th slot. And especially with people doing a lot of searches from their phones these days, 13 or beyond that, it's like, it's, you know, they kind of have said that, you know, it's not likely people are going to keep scrolling to a listing that's sort of at the bottom of the pack. So what ends up happening is their, you know, their calls might dry up. And some search consultants have told me that there, you know, there are businesses that are at risk of going out of business because they are not on, you know, the first page of results. And, you know, they're getting beaten out by the fake listings.
What are the most common business sectors where fraud occurs? Is it lawyers or is it shady repairmen?
Lawyers is a huge one. The value of a lead for a lawyer is high and it's competitive out there. And so you get a ton of fake lawyer listings and they'll have names like best personal injury attorney or car accident attorney Dallas. And that's how they'll appear on the map. They won't look like a typical law firm name. Other industries that are pretty ripe for fraud are contractors, electricians, towing and car repair services. It's kind of a range.
Wall Street Journal reporter Katie Binley joining us from San Francisco. Thanks, Katie.
Thanks for having me.
For more on this story, head to our website, wsj.com. And that's what's news for this Thursday afternoon. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.